Okay, tonight is Monday night, May 14th, day in which the United States moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. This is the Gemara Shir, Moed Katan. We're up to Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Over the last couple of shiurim, almost all of Daf Tes Vav, the Gemara had attempted to establish Isurei Avelus, and then question whether we transition it as well to Mitzora and Nidui, Mitzora and Cheru. So now the Gemara is going to spend quite a bit of time analyzing the laws of Nidui, how the process takes place, and we'll also explain a variety of types of nidui. There are basically three different styles, three different types. In general, Bezdin is minadin, put somebody into cheirim, for the following situations. The one that we've always focused on is where somebody doesn't listen to Beis Din. Beis Din issued a psak halacha, and the guy refused. So they put him into cheirim. Number two, somebody who is somebody who humiliated or shamed a nasi or a talmud chacham. That automatically deserves him to put into a nidui. A third situation is somebody who is engaging in a ma'asei aveira, and a Talmud Chacham who knows the halacha comes over to you and says, you know, you're not allowed to do this. And he looks at you like you're from Mars or something. So Beis Din will be minade such a person for transgressing any mitzvah of the Torah when a chacham sees him and tells him not to do it. Those are the three cases. And then there is another type of nidui which is called nizifa, and you find that expression quite frequently. It's used in one case and one case only, where somebody unintentionally harmed or injured or embarrassed a Talmud Chacham, and he had no intention to do so, but the Talmud Chacham is makpid. And there are many stories in the Gemara to that effect, where the Amora or the Tana, you know, even though it was obvious that it was not done intentionally, nonetheless, he didn't take it well. And under those circumstances, you put the person into nizifa, and somebody who is in nizifa has to sit alone in his house, and he keeps away from people. But the majority of the laws of nidui don't apply under those circumstances. And the reason for the nidui in this case is because we're always looking to protect Kvoi Talmidei Chachamim. And if this Talmud Chacham, even though it wasn't intentional, feels slighted by what this person had done to him, the Beis Din always tries to take care of him and puts him into what is called nizifa. And he does not require, this person does not require hatara. When somebody is put into nidui, in order to release him from the nidui, Beis Din, who put him into nidui, has to subsequently convene and release him from the nidui. But if you are only nizof, so Beis Din will say you are nizof for 10 days. After the 10 days, it automatically expires without requiring a Beis Din to reassemble. So now the Gemara is going to give us the process of nidui. It's line 4, Tat Tezayin Amud Aleph, Amar Rava. There is a problem with our text, and we will see how the Rosh's text is a little more smooth. But I'm going to read the way the Gemara appears, the text appears in our Gemara. Amar Rava. Minolon de Mishadrin Shlicha de Beidina Umizamnina Le Ledina. How do I know that in order to put somebody into Nidui, Beis Din does not have to go itself to the person and say, I am putting you in Nidui, that you can send an agent? Beis Din will send a Shliach Beis Din. How do I know that Mishadrin Shlicha de Beidina? And according to our Gemara's question, there are two questions. How do I know that this Shliach Beis Din now has the right to summon such a person to Beis Din, and he will now be put into Chayim? How do I know that? So the Gemara quotes, Dichsiv Vayishlach Moshe Likro L'dasanu L'aviram B'nei Eliyav. The Torah states in Parshas Korach that Dasan and Aviram joined the Korach rebellion, and Moshe was a little upset about them. So he sends for them. Vayishlach Moshe Likro L'dasan V'aviram. And when he calls, Moshe doesn't go himself. Moshe was the Beis Din. He didn't go himself. He sent for him. So since Moshe sent for Dasan V'aviram, under those circumstances, we learn the halacha that Beis Din doesn't have to go itself. It can send a shliach.
What are the two questions here?
How do I know that Beis Din can send a shliach? The mishadrin and le shlicha. And umizamnina loyledina, that Beis Din, the shliach, has a right to summon him to Beis Din.
Now, is this unique to a Menuda case or any case of Beis Din?
No, not every case of Beis Din. Beis Din, you know, Beis Din.
Is this a general question? All the world of Beis Din?
No, this is for nidui purposes. Normally, Beis Din doesn't go out any place. You come to Beis Din to do what? To adjudicate a case. Here, Beis Din is looking for you. You're not coming to Beis Din because you know, this guy's the chutzpahnik. He's Dasan V'aviram. Moshe is summoning him to Beis Din.
If I sue you, doesn't Beis Din summon you to come to court to defend yourself? Yeah.
Yes. We will see that. We'll talk about that. Yeah. We'll see.
It seems like, why are they separating the two parts?
Because you have to know that there is a halacha, a proof. That Beis Din has a right to summon you, to put you into Nidui. You have a right to summon you. And number two, it doesn't have to be done personally by the Batei Din. I could have thought, yeah, Moshe has a right to summon you to Beis Din, but Moshe has to come to you and say, I want you to come to Beis Din. He doesn't have to do that. He can send an agent, and the agent can communicate the message, Beis Din has a right to summon you.
Once you can send an agent, isn't it obvious the agent is going to do whatever Beis Din wants it to do?
But how do you know what Beis Din has that right?
Well, once you prove, step one, they can send the shliach. What do I need a second proof that tells me what the shliach can say?
So now look at the next question of the Gemara. Uminolon de mizamnina ledina. What do you mean? I just answered that question already. So, therefore, the Rush will learn that there are two separate steps. The first step is, how do I know that you can what? Send an agent. Take a look at the sheet. It's labeled page 27. Of yesterday, number 27, Stanton, was 4 for 4. And then next page is page 40. That's Severino's number. But then Aaron Judge's number. You got to keep up with the numbers. Exactly. Got to keep up with the numbers. with the news. So look at the Rush's Girsa. Omar Rava, Minolon Dikavete Duchta Ladina, Umishagrinon Shlicha Mi Beidina. How do I know that I have a right to Kavinon Duchta Ladina? That Bezdin has a right to say, you know, we're establishing this Bezdin for this particular case. I'm going to give you the location. How do I know that Bezdin's and say, I want you to come to X spot? And how do I know that I can send a shliach? So he quotes the pasuk. And then later on, he asks the third question, how do I know that what? That Bezdin has a right to summon you to Bezdin. Because the way our Gemara appears, this two questions are answered with the very first pasuk that he quotes, and then the Gemara's next question is totally meaningless. So the Rush had a different girsa, and there's much discussion about what actually is the correct girsa. The Rif has his text, but so just don't get excited on this particular phrase right here as to whether the second question has been answered or not. So, our Gemara then says, "Uminolon de mizamninon ledina dechsiv vayomer Moshe el Korach ata v'chol adascha." I want you to what? To come lifnei Hashem. That's what the pasuk says. I want you. The pasuk says. If you look at the whole pasuk, we have it there on the side. It says. Vayomer Moshe el Korach ata v'chol adascha hayu lifnei Hashem ata v'heim Aharon machar. That's what the pasuk says. In the first, in the initial one, it said Vayishlach Moshe l'dasav v'aviram that he sent a message dasav bnei Eliyah, and their response was lo na'ale, we're not coming. That was Dasan Barbiram's response. We're not coming. And you could actually learn out that you have a right to summon them, even though it didn't say it, because you understand that they were summoned based on what? On the response. They said, Lo na'ale. Obviously, Moshe had sent the message. Please come, appear before me. So that's what the Gemara could have simply responded, but in our text there is a second source in which we learn out that Bezdin has a right to summon you, and that's from the interaction with Korach. Vayomer Moshe el Korach, I want you and your entire assembly and Aaron to come tomorrow. And the reason why it is Aaron as well is because he attacked the Kahuna. So since Korach attacked the Kahuna, all parties have to be present as I try to resolve this issue. Yeah. Now, let's take a look at the Ritva. The Ritva offers several interesting perspectives. Point number one, Amar Rava, Minolon de Mishagrinon Shlicha. How do I know that you can send an agent? Piresh, V'chol Heicha Dulo Sholchu Le Shlicha. Wherever Bezdin has not sent out a messenger, E Lo Asi, if he has not come, Lo Chashiva Afkerusa. Velotzayis Dina. Under those circumstances, he is not considered someone who is abandoning the word of Bezdin and is demonstrating that he is not listening to Bezdin. He is not considered that. Va'af alpi shehezmino baldino be'edin. Even though the other litigant, so he would be the person who was humiliated, let's say, by this guy. So you have, we said that one of the cases were where you are Mevayish HaTamad Chacham. So the Talmud Chacham could summon you to Beis Din in the presence of two Edim. You don't. That doesn't make you a person who has not has violated Beis Din's edict because he refused to come to Beis Din. In order to be considered a refusenik to come to Beis Din, it has to be an agent of Beis Din. That's a point number one which the Ritva makes. So it's not just that Beis Din is allowed to send a shliach, says the Ritva. It's that the shliach or Beis Din itself, and it's usually going to be an agent, has the only power to subpoena you to come to Beis Din. The Baal Din has no right to subpoena his counterpart to a Beis Din. That's point number one, which the Ritva makes. Point number two. The Chsiv, the Gemara answered that it says, Vayomer Moshe El Korach, Ata v'chol adoscha heyu. Yesh meforshim, the Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, Hayashliach Hashem, Lahazmin lefanav Korach v'adoscha. When it comes to Korach, it doesn't say, Vayishlach Moshe, Likro leKorach, that you should show up tomorrow morning. It doesn't say that. It says that by Dasan Vaviram. But by Korach, the dialogue is directly from what? From Moshe to Korach. So I thought you just said 5 seconds ago that the Balei Din, that the Beis Din doesn't have to come and they'll send an agent. So why didn't he send an agent this time to Korach? So therefore the Ritva says, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not the Beis Din this time. Who was the Beis Din? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Beis Din this time. So Moshe is the shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam to decide this particular case. And therefore Moshe, as the representative of Beis Din, tells Korach, I want you to show up. And he told Aaron as well to show up with your machtot, with your frying pans. And that's it. So it's it. That's number one.
But why Dathan Aviram? It would be the same. Hashem is not the Beis Din for Dathan Aviram. Similar case.
No, not necessarily.
Moshe.
That was
no. But I'm saying, but the same.
It says likro le Moshe. It says likro vayishlach Moshe likro le dasan vaviram. And who did he tell him to come? Assuming they told Moshe lo na'aleh. So we assumed that Moshe was the Beis Din at that particular. Even though it could have been Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself, it could have been. However, says the Ritva, the Yesh Mefarshim, no, the Korach Hayashliach Lahazmin LaAdaso. That even though Korach is in effect the main Baal Din, here when Moshe tells Korach, it means you're my agent. I'm the Beis Din. You're my agent to what? To summon the rest of the gang, the Chamishim Umasayim Ish, Kohen Ben Peles, and the 250 gang members. So it could be that Korach could be perceived from either perspective. Either perspective. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue to Gemara. And just one other point, the fact that Moshe says of the two pshatim that the Ritva answered, the two pshatim Ritva just gave about Korah, what do you think the pasuk, which of the two does the pasuk substantiate? If you have the pasuk there, it says Vayomer Moshe al Korach, Ata v'chol adoscha, heyu lifnei Hashem, Ata v'heim v'aharon. So, somebody makes a point, I forgot who, based on the Ritva, that it actually supports one over the other. Which over the other and why? That the Pasuk itself indicates which is the correct interpretation. So whoever says it is...
The first one.
That what?
Lefnei Hashem. Hashem, yeah, being the Beis Din.
Well, how do I know? Because otherwise, what should it have said?
Because at the end of the puzzle, Lifnei Hashem, it should have said Lifanai or Lifnei Beistin.
Good, that's exactly what he says. It should have said Lifaneinu, meaning in front of us, me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that Moshe answers only Lifnei Hashem, so some claim that the first perspective of the Ritva is closer to the Pshat of the Pasuk than the second interpretation of the Pasuk. Second Tation.
It fits in bed with the next few words of the Gemara.
Yes. Right. So asks the Gemara. Likame Gavra Rabba. How do I know that what? That you, when you invite somebody to a Bezdin, you try to get a superior type of Bezdin in order to put somebody into Cheirem. Dechsiv Lifnei Hashem. At Uplanya. You and the rest of the gang. Dechsiv Ata Vehein Aharon. All of them are coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asks the Gemara, Dikavinon Zimna, how do I know that Beis Din has to establish a time when you come to Beis Din? When you come to Beis Din. It's not an open-ended invitation, but you have to designate the time. Answers the Gemara, because it said, Machar. Moshe the Rabbeinu didn't say, just show up. He said, I want you to come tomorrow. But here comes the real Chiddush. Umenal, how do I know, Zimna, Basar Zimna, that you, Beis Din has an obligation to extend a second invitation in case he ignored the first invitation. How do I know that? So the Gemara will quote a pasuk in a second. Let's go back to the Ritva for a second. And this is the third entry. At Uplanya, number one, Perush, Shitzorech Shiyoyme Lebaldin, Shehu Sheyehe Mizuman Ladin Imploni. That you have to stipulate when you extend the invitation that what? That you're coming to Beis Din and your counterpart is coming to Beis Din. Because every person has to have a right to prepare his defense in Beis Din. Because if Beis Din's going to accuse you of what? Of doing X, Y, and Z to such a person, you have to know who that person is. Velo sheyomar lo hashliach heyei mizuman ledin. And it's not sufficient that the shliach Beis Din simply state, you are hereby ordered to appear in court. You have to be willing and able to what? To identify. V'hatam kideshiyeda mitovo badin, so he should know who is summoning him to court. V'yizacher, and he will remember thereby, im yeshlo lasas klum v'yifaisenu. Maybe before you get put into cheirim, there's a very way of resolving this case. Go ahead and appease that person who you humiliated or whatever it is. V'gam sheyitein elibo mashiyashiv lo badin. You should prepare your arguments to know how to respond. So it's for two reasons. Either it gives you an opportunity to eliminate the case simply by apologizing, b'yifaisenu, or it gives you an opportunity to prepare all of your arguments. Udekavina zimna basa zimna, piresh, ki afal pi shelo ba lizman rishon, even though he failed to heed the first summons, ein lebezdin lichos alav kidei lekanso. Beis Din cannot be angry at him after the first summoning in order to what? To administer any retribution, any punishment. Why? Ki ulai lo hayolav penai v'anusu. Maybe he didn't have any time And he was it was a legitimate reason why he didn't show up. But if what happens a second time, then Beis Din has a right to act. In our practice today, we, after a hazmana is sent to Beis Din, we send the second hazmana, and we do not punish until after what? The third refusal. If a person does not come on a third invitation to Beis Din, then Beis Din puts out what's called a shtar siruv, a document indicating that such a person refused to appear to a Beis Din summons, and under those circumstances, they will announce that, you know, he's like in Cheirim. That's what we do today. If such a person were walking to shul, you would stop the davening and wait until he leaves the shul. We had such a person once, if you remember, a couple of years ago. Guy did not want to give his wife a get. Three siruvim, we stopped the davening until he walked out. Yes? And you're not allowed to give him aliyot, you're not allowed to do anything. You know, people are supposed to boycott his businesses, you're allowed to make protests. Rabbi Schechter is a big Ora fan of that organization, and they come to people's houses and businesses with big signs saying, this guy refused to come to Beis Din, doesn't want to divorce his wife, doesn't want to give his wife a get, and he was Masarei Beis Din, supposed to humiliate him in public. Yeah. Yes. So now let's see how Gemara learns this out, then we'll go back to the Ritva. But let's see the Gemara first. So the Gemara asked, Umina zimna basa zimna, dichsiv karu sham paro melech mitzrayim she'on he'evir hamoeim. So this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and I think I have the pasuk here. Yes, on page 1, after 99, because there were no other Yankee stars, so we can go back to regular capital numbers. Everything is a cheshbon. Page 1, which is Yirmiyahu Perek Mem Vav. And starting with Pasuk Yud Gimel is the Haftarah of Parshas Bo. This is the Haftarah of Parshas Bo. Hadavar Shadibir Hashem Li Yirmiyahu Hanavi Lavo Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel LaHakos Eretz Mitzrayim. There was a command for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Nebuchadnezzar, that he should go and attack Melech Bavel and let them know a certain message. To attack Mitzrayim. So now the pasuk says, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Kar'u Sham Paro Melech Mitzrayim Sha'on. Paro called out and made a racket. That's the simple translation. He'evir Hamoev. And the time lapsed. So it says He'evir Hamoev. And then what happens? Then Kadosh Baruch Hu has to come and tell him a second time that he should go attack. So take a look at Rashi. Karu Sham Shamta. They called there a chayrim. What does that mean? Kilomar shamto leparo sheheevir hamoed. Paro is to be put into chayrim because the time passed. Kilomar sheheevir oso moed shesomo achar moed rishon. After a first time had already been what? Proclaimed. And a second time had been proclaimed, so Paro somehow violated this the second time, and therefore he deserves a shamta. Now, the Ritva looks at this Rashi and says, what's going on here? What did Paro, what was Paro ever told to do? Paro, it was the opposite. It is Nebuchadnezzar who was told to what? To go attack Paro Melech Mitzrayim. So therefore, go to the Ritva. Which is back on page 40. It's the second line after it says, the next line after it says, Utikavinan Zimna Basa Zimna. Kidachsiv. It's the fourth line of that bracketed Ritva. Karusham Paro Melech Mitzrayim Sha'on He'evir Amoe. Piresh. Shahakolish Baruch Tziva al Nebuchadnezzar Lavo al Mitzrayim Lahachriva Lizman Noan. Hakolish Baruch had told Nebuchadnezzar, here is when I want you to attack. Umatzinu Shelo Ba Lemoed Ahu. And he, Nebuchadnezzar, did not come the first time around. How do I know that Nebuchadnezzar didn't come? Shaharei hayu paru Mitzrayim ve'amo smechin u'ma'avirin kol sha'on. They were delighted and they were making a big racket, a big party, because what had happened? Shekvar he'evir mehem Nebuchadnezzar ha'mo'ed. The time passed. And how do they interpret the time passed? That the time passed. Why did Nebuchadnezzar not come? Were they so happy? He's afraid of us. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Nebuchadnezzar to attack, he did not attack. Afal pi shematzinu shelo ba Nebuchadnezzar lemoed lo kies alav Hashem yidbarach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't get angry at Nebuchadnezzar. V'lo bitel shluchaso, and he did not cancel his assignment that Nebuchadnezzar should attack. How do I know? Sharei anu roim, because later on in Yirmiyahu it says shebal amitzrim ve'achriva, and he destroyed them. In fact, Am Yisrael's role in this whole thing was whether or not Nebuchadnezzar would be using Eretz Yisrael as what? As the route to go from Bavel to Mitzrayim, and should he take sides or not. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to take sides, and he did take sides. Actually not, Yirmiyahu told the Melech, forgot which Melech it was. Who?
Yoshiyahu.
Not to take sides, and he did take sides. He took the wrong side. He sided with Mitzrayim at the time against the Nebuchadnezzar. And that cost Yoshiyahu his malchus. Mm-hmm. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not get angry at Nebuchadnezzar, because the first time, you always give an excuse. He was busy, he had something else, had to kill somebody else.
I mean, you could also bring a proof from Yonah, when he refused one time and he got punished, the whole storm and got thrown in the sea, and he didn't get a second time. Second time he went.
Okay, it's a good question. It's a good question.
Hold on. It was different.
Yeah, you have to say it was different. But I don't know.
Can you read the Rashi again?
Yeah, Rashi says, Karu Sham. What should you call there? Shamta. Kilomar. Shamta leparo.
Shamta means destruction, right?
No. Shamta is a nidui.
Shamta
is a nidui. Shamta leparo. Shehevir hamoev. Because it seems like he violated the moed, the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given. Kilomar. Shehevir oso moed. Shesomo achar moed rishon. And everybody asks Sarashi, but what do you mean? What are you talking about? Paro wasn't asked to do anything. Paro was asked to be the culprit of the victim of Nebuchadnezzar. That's why everybody else learns differently. It's very difficult what Rashi says here. And in fact, Um, covenant. I don't know. And I didn't find a very good explanation for Rashi either. Looked around, you know, the Tzlach, Karanoira. Didn't have much in defense of Rashi. I just can't make heads or tails out of what Rashi's saying. Let's draw. Yeah. Yeah, and the Namuki Yosef says exactly what the Ritva says, that it's referring to Nebuchadnezzar, and he only fulfilled this during his second time to go travel against, to go fight against Paro. Lomagain Vaita. Asks the Gemara, Uminola, De'i mitpaker b'shlicha de'beidina v'asi v'amar lo mitchazei kalishna bisha. How do I know that if the summoned individual, the subpoenaed individual, curses the shliach bezdin, mitpaker b'shlicha de'beidina, he curses the bezdin, va'asi va'amar, and not a shliach bezdin comes back to where? To bezdin, and he reports it va'amar lo mitchazei kelishna bisha. How do I know that it's not considered lashon hara? That the shliach is saying lashon hara about the guy that he cursed, either most likely bezdin. Others say, we'll see in a second, that he cursed the shliach himself. But when he reports it to Bezdin, that's Lashon Hara. How do I know that this is not considered Lashon Hara? Dechsiv ha'enei ha'anashim ha'ein tinaker. Now, who said that ha'enei anashim ha'ein tinaker? Dasan v'aviram said that. Now, they said, is Moshe Rabbeinu going to what? Gouge out our eyes if we don't come to him? Now, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that they said that? How did they know? He didn't go himself to summon Dasan Vavirim. It says, Vayishlach Moshe. Must be that the Shliach Bezdin reported that Dasan Vavirim's response to be summoning to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, Ha'enei Anashim in a Tanakher.
Because that's written in the text of the Torah?
That's in the Torah text.
And I'm saying, but that's the proof?
That's the proof.
That's pretty...
Well, how else would Moshe Rabbeinu
God know? Told him, like he told him when Avram said to Lot.
But it doesn't say, it doesn't say that Vayoyim HaShem or Moshe. That's going to be the Rashash question in just a second. And he just doesn't say not the Rabbi Mishon. We'll see what it says. So, yeah. So now on this halacha of a Shliach Bezdin is not considered in violation of the halacha of Lashon Hara, please take for a second. No, I want to say, yeah, take a look at the Ritva for 1 second. That's the last Ritva on page 40 that we bracketed. Dechsiv ha'enei ha'anashim ha'heim tenaker lo na'ale. Piresh. V'ilmale sha'amar lo kein hashliach. If not for the shliach having reported this back to Moshe, minayin yada Moshe b'davar. Ubivadai kishlucho shamoshe kosher harya. There's no doubt that the person who Moshe Rabbeinu sent is going to be a good individual, and he's not going to be telling lashon hara unless you're allowed to do so. Ve'ilmale sheyesh lo rishus lomar lo haya omer. Had he not had the right to recite and give back what Dasan Vavirim said, he could have just said, you know, lo na'ale. They said we're not coming. He didn't have to say, you know, is he going to gouge out our eyes? Vitama deleka baha mishum lishna bisha, and the reason why it's not considered lashon hara mishum deliz daher kol inish, a person has to be very careful the lo lit paker bebeidina, not to curse a court. You have to be very careful, and in order to eliminate the possibility of people cursing the court, the halacha grants the shliach the right to report it, and then when he finally does come, the Bezdin will rebuke him for that as well. So the only way to eliminate that type of activity is to grant the shliach the opportunity to say whatever he says to Bezdin.
Didn't the Ritva just say beforehand that one of the pshatim, the korah could have been the hishliach for the other 250 folks?
Mm-hmm. But that's not dosan vavira.
Okay, but obviously, if you say you can't be vade kishlucho shavosha kasher haya, maybe, I mean, just like you were saying, he sent Korah. I'm just saying, Ritva used it as one of his pshatim, and now he's
okay. Yeah, Korah's not such a good guy. Yeah. Okay.
Listen, Lashon Hara, you wouldn't do.
He only challenged Aaron Zuck. God forbid, Lashon Hara.
So when the person came and told him that Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp,
right?
What's Lashon Hara?
Why is that Lashon Hara? Well, he's just purporting a fact. They offered to Nebuah.
So you're here to report the same fact. They said,
its intention was to what? That's what people say, the way they interpret the pasuk. What did it, when they said, is he going to gouge out our eyes? What did it really mean? What does it really mean? And I want to gouge out your eyes, my Shura. I mean, that's what we want to do. That's what you deserve. So that's the way it's interpreted. They said it about themselves, but they really meant it upon Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. Now go to page number 2, which is a lengthy Yerushalmi in Peah, which gives a couple of background pieces about Lashon Hara. So it says, a very famous pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, Ksiv, Vayave Yosef es dibasam ra'a el avihem. Yosef brought Lashon Hara to his father. Ma omar. Rabbi Meir omar chashudin hein al evim minachai. That the brothers, when they would want to eat meat, a roast beef sandwich, they cut the meat off the animal while it was alive, and they violated the Isser of evim minachai. Rabbi Yehuda Imer Mizalzlin Hain Bibne Hashvachos Vinohagin Bohem Ka'avadim. Rabbi Yehuda said they ridiculed the children of Zilpah and Bilha and treated them like slaves. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nosin Hain Einehen Bibnosa Aretz. They had their eyes glued to the women of the Canaanite women running around. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Peles Mosne Mishpat Lashem Maaseyu, Kol Avnei Kis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses Mida Keneged Mida against Yosef for his reporting of what? All of this Lashon Hara. Against Ki Ma Amar Chashudin Hein Alevi Menachai. On the fact that they what? That they were guilty of Eved Menachai, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Ani Mochiach Aleihen Shehem Shoftin Va'azlin. I'm going to have proof, testimony, that what? That they did shecht an animal. They did not eat Eved Menachai. How do I know? Because it says, Vayishchatu Sa'irizim Vayitbalu Sakuton Et Badam. So, why did they shecht the shearism? They wanted meat, and they shechted it. While they were at it, they said, let's dip Yosef's Ksainis Pasim in the blood. But they shechted an animal first. Ma Omar Mizalzel and Hain Bivnei Ashvachot V'noagin Behem Kavodim. How did Yosef get punished for that? Le'eved Nimkar Yosef. Yosef was sold as a slave. Ma Omar Nosnin Einayim Bivaretz. They said that they were looking around at the girls of the land. Haduba mitgarei bach. A bear is going to be attacking him. Vatisa eshes adonav es eneha el Yosef. So she tried to what? Seduce him. Fine.
So are we saying what he said to him was Lashon Hara or Motzi Shemra?
Lashon Hara. He doesn't go into the difference between Motzi Shemra and Lashon Hara.
Lashon Hara implies that they really did these things.
That is correct. That's so it might be.
And this response is they really didn't do those things. He made stuff up.
That's correct. So let's call Diba. It says Diba. Okay. Could be Motzi Shemra.
Okay.
Next bracketed item.
It's true.
Tani Rab Yishmael. Lo Selech Rachil Ba'amecha. So the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, which says Lo Selech Rachil Ba'amecha, Zu Rechilas Lashon Hara. Tani Rab Nechemya. Shelo Tehe Ki Rochel Hazeh. Rochel is a peddler, a businessman. What does he do? Matin dvarav shelzeh, lozeh v'shelzeh lozeh. He trades. He takes something that he bought from guy A and he sells it to B. Takes something he bought from B and sells it to A. So that's what this peddler does. He takes what everybody says and he brings it to the rest of the world. That's why Lashon Hara is described in the pasuk as lo selech rachil b'yamecha. Amar Rab Chanina, bo urei kamakasha hu avak lashon hara. You can see how even a shmet from lashon hara, avak, is the dirt of lashon hara. Shedibro hakasov lashon bedai b'shvil lahatil shalom bein Avram l'sara. Because this Torah itself fabricated a little lie in order to what? Make sure that there would be peace between Shalom and Avram, Sarah and Avram. As it says, "Vatitzchak Sarah b'kirbalemar acharei belosi hoysoli edna va'adoni zaken ula Avram eino omekein ella lomazet tzachakas Sarah lemar ha'af umnam eleid va'ani zakanti va'adoni zaken engsiv kan ella va'ani zakanti." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to write in the Torah a little change that Avram shouldn't be upset at Sarai that she said, how are we going to have a kid? After all, Avram is an old man already. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Bo'urei kamakasha hu avak lashon hara. Shedibro haksuvim divrei badoi. The Torah fabricated some stories kidei lahatul shalom ben Yosef le'echav. Hadod of Siv, as it is written in Parshas Vayechi at the end of Sefer Bereishis, Vayitzavu es Yosef lemor, Avicha tziva lefnei Moso. The brothers went to Yosef and said, "Father left instructions, what? That you should forgive us." And Avicha tziva lemor, Kosom rule beis Yosef, li Yosef, Ana sana, please forgive them. Velo Ashkechan, the Pakat Klum. We never found that Yaakov instructed the rest of his brothers to say anything. So the Torah fabricates it in order to maintain
the Shalom. The brothers fabricated it.
What?
The brothers fabricated it. That's different.
We don't know they fabricated it. We just don't know that he said that.
Right?
And Yosef clearly knew that they made it up because he started crying.
Okay, but that's not why he made. That's not why he made it. He was crying. He was crying because if he believed it, that they are exhibiting this kind of remorse.
I thought he was crying because he felt bad that they thought of him that he would take revenge. He
okay, that's also a good shot.
But again, here it's not like Hashem told Avram something. Now it's okay. Whatever.
Okay. Rab Shmuel ben Nachman b'shem Rab Yonasan. And this is what's relevant to us. Mutar lomer lashon hara al bali hamachloikis. You are permitted to recite lashon hara about the what? People who are fighting, if your intention is to what? To minimize the machloikis. If that's what your intention is, you're allowed to recite Lashon Hara. And he quotes a pasuk in Melachim. So go now to page number 3 for a minute. Go to page number 3. This happens to be the Haftarah of Parshas Chayisara. This is Melachim Aleph, Perak Aleph. David is getting very old. And Adoniyahu in Pasuk Hey, Adoniyahu ben Chagit min Asay Lemor, Ani Emloch, decides to seize the kingdom. And then in Pasuk Tes, he has this whole fancy party. Vayizbach al Dnei Atzonu Bokam Rim Zimcheles, Vayikra es Kol Echad Bnei Amelech or Anshe Yudav de Amelech. Calls lots of people. Yes, Nasan Havi Hanavi, Ubanaya, Vesagibarim, Veshlomo Achiv Lokara. Bayomin Natan El Bathsheba, Aim Shlomo Lemar. Hello, Shama, Timalach Adonio, Ben Chagit, Vadunenu David Lo Yuda. Do you know that David has no idea what's going on? So then, she says in Pasuk Yudalid, Hine Odof Midabera Shomim Amelech, Vaani Avo Acharayich. You know what? You'll be speaking to the king, and what am I going to do? I'm going to come in and fill him in about what Adoniyahu had done. I'll fill him in with the details.
Meaning Nasan HaNavi.
Batsheva.
Batsheva.
Nasan HaNavi together with Batsheva.
Both. Okay.
So here's what the Gemara says. The Medrash says you are permitted to go ahead and say Lashon Hara. So many Rishonim say the chidush of our Gemara is that even if the purpose of your Lashon Hara is not to resolve the machloikis between these two litigants, that's not the reason why the Shliach Bezdin, he's not going to resolve the machloikis by reporting the Lashon Hara. In fact, he's just going to infuriate the Baal Din even more. Because what do you have to tell the Bezdin that I cursed the Dayanim for? Why do you have to do that? Nonetheless, in order to make sure that people respect the integrity of the Bezdin and do not curse them, therefore the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to recite Lashon Hara, even though it is not recorded in the Yerushalmi as one of the mitigating circumstances, which is to lahargia es hamachlokes, to get the machlokes resolved or toned down to some extent.
How is the proof? How is the case of Melachim to get it toned down?
Wanted it resolved.
Well, resolved, but they're still talking about how they're both. It's more that they wanted to get David more aggravated and excited to get up and go.
Right, but the purpose was to resolve this once and for all. To make sure that David tells Adoniyahu, sorry buddy, I'm going to go. And I don't think it actually says he speaks to Adoniyahu. All he does is proclaim Shlomo as the king, and that Shlomo bini yimloch acharan. So once he said that, he knew that that's why he made the proclamation. So once he said that automatically took care of it, because Adoniyahu understood then very well that he's not going to become the king as a result of the fact that David had just appointed Shlomo as the king. So it was for the purpose of resolving that particular machlokes. Now, the Rashash asks the following question about the proof that the Gemara had given that the Shliach Bezdin is permitted to repeat the Lashon Hara because they told Moshe, Ha'enei ha'anoshim ha'enei t'naker ha'enei. Is that guy going to go gouge at our eyes? So the Rashash cites the Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara, the Megillas Esther writes on one or two occasions, Vayomer Haman Bilibo. Haman said to himself, "Lemi yachpot hamelech la'asos gedulah yoser mineni," and it says that he said it to himself. So how did Esther or Mordechai, whoever wrote the Megillah, how could they possibly have known what he said to himself? He didn't articulate loudly to anybody. Answers to Gemara, Esther beruach hakodesh ne'emra. Esther knew because she had ruach hakodesh. But that's what the Gemara and Megillah on Daf Zayin says. So what question do you think the Rosh Hashanah is going to ask on this Gemara? Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot more than ruach hakodesh. Right, ruach hakodesh is the lowest level of nevuah. Moshe was the Adon HaNevi'ah, the greatest of all Nevi'ah. So you mean to tell me Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what Dasan Vaviram said? How can you bring any proof from this pasuk that you're allowed to say Lashon Hara? Maybe now to say Lashon Hara as a Shliach Bezdin. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know? Because he was Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe didn't get nevuah after the...
What?
After the Regalim, he didn't get nevuah for 38 years.
That was not after the Kairach Regalim, that was after the Meraglim Regalim.
And Meraglim was...
After.
Right, and he still had... Yeah. Kairach was right after the Meraglim.
Right, so he didn't have nevuah anymore.
But he did. In this parsha, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to summon them to Bezdin. Of course. It was after that event, that's all. And first of all, not everybody believes that that the Kairach rebellion happened after the Meraglim. That was what the Ramban wrote. The Ibn Ezra says it's Ein Mukdam Mamulcha Batoira. And when did the Kairach rebellion take place? On the day that Aaron was appointed as the Kohen Gadol. Right, way back before the Mishkan was actually established. That's when he started complaining. And the Ramban asks on the Ibn Ezra then, that's impossible. Because had anybody challenged Moshe Rabbeinu's authority early on, they would have pelted him with stones and killed him. You know why it had a half a chance of succeeding? Because Moshe did not get what he was looking for by the Chet HaMeraglim. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Slachno la'avayna mazeh ki goydeh chasdecha," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. You know, every adult is going to have to die out in the desert. So then they knew this was a good time to attack. But Ibn Ezra, as he often does, says, why is the Torah telling us now about the attack on the Kahuna when the Kahuna was selected months ago? So it didn't have to be there.
Why can't you bring this as proof? If the Ruach HaKodesh can tell Lashon Hara, so of course the person can.
If the Ruach
HaKodesh telling Lashon Hara about Haman.
Okay.
It's Purim Torah. Yeah. But it's not bad.
Yeah.
That's where I thought the Rosh Hashanah was going.
Let's continue. Let us continue.
So
Uminalon Dishamtinan. How do I know that what? That you're supposed to put somebody into Chayrim? Dichsiv Oru Meiroz. Oru Meiroz. Now that pasuk is in the Haftarah of Parshas Bishalach. It's Shiras Devorah. It says in pasuk from Shoftim, Oru Meiroz, Oma Malach Hashem, Oru Aror Yoshvea, Ki Hashem Lo Bo Lezras Hashem, Lezras Hashem Bagiborim. So, apparently, I should have checked the exact cases, but Oro Meiroz. Oro is from Lashon Arur, curse, because every single Shamta has a curse associated with it. When you are put into Cherem, Bezdin in effect curses you for doing whatever you did to prompt the Cherem. And it says, so here, Meiroz did not come as a result of Barak, Ben Avinoam's calling. So he was not, he was now put into Cherem. And he was cursed. So therefore we know that if you don't come at the calling of whoever is the leader, at that time was Barak, And Devora, under those circumstances, Meroz is now cursed. Hence, it's Oru, cursed from Lashon Arur, and that means you're supposed to be put into Cheirem. Ask the Gemara one more question. Dehachi savra de gavra rabba. How do I know that when you put somebody into cheirim, you're supposed to say it in the name of the greatest chacham of the bet din? How do I know that? Answers the Gemara. Dechsiv amamal Hashem. Who was the one who declared the, or in whose name did they declare the oru? Amamal Hashem. Malach Hashem is the biggest. A name at this area, so whoever is the Chacham Hagadol in that Bezdin, they have to include his name as the person who is, it's the Bezdin, but it's the Bezdin headed by such a person who is now putting you into Nidui, into Cheirem. Alright, stop here and we'll continue in 3 weeks.